So many of us have been affected by the, let's just call it, research on brain health. So many of us have seen people come before us and we scratch our heads and we say, in the world we live in today, why don't we have more answers? Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to answer that question, but I've got two amazing people here that are going to not just answer the question, but tell us what the heck we're going to be able to do about this. Because I don't know about you, but almost everybody I know knows somebody that could benefit from an accelerated research approach or platform on brain health. Joining me here today, CEO of the Brain Donor Project and founder of Black Men in Biotech. We're going to discuss that. We have Trish Hevel, CEO of the Brain Donor Project. And now I heard Trish, you call him Pete.
Oh, his name's Petrosky.
His name is Petrosky. Petrosky Loskin, founder of Black Men in Biotech. Both of you, thank you for joining me here today. We are really getting at the bottom of, look, in all the donor programs we have, you know, this is one of these areas that we have to have more education for people to understand that the only way we're going to really advance this and advance the research is by doing the research. What do you think, Trish? Right or no?
You said it. It's the most critical tissue known to neuroscience. There's no substitute for it at all. And if there's a shortage of donated human brain tissue for these really important studies, it's going to slow research. So we are out there, and thank you for preaching as well, telling people that we need brains. We need all kinds of brains. We need brains from all kinds of people, because if the science isn't, you know, the science will be incomplete if it doesn't represent all of us.
Yeah. And let's talk about representing all of us, because this is like, I'm like a broken record on this. You know, those of us that come from, multiracial diverse families, right? My folks are South American. We also scratch our heads about certain things like this. So this is one of these things where the playing field is not even level in any way. I want to just have each of you talk about that. But Petrosky, I want you to go first. I mean, are we still talking about an level or uneven playing field, especially in this arena?
Yes, of course. Absolutely we are. And let's be honest. I mean, my favorite quote of the du jour is, if we're not at the table, we're on the menu. And what does that mean? Means that if you want the science to reflect us, then we have to be included in, we need a seat at the table to determine whether or not that science, whether or not that is going to apply to us. And so for so many of Black and brown people, African-American, my family, my mom and my grandfather who died of Alzheimer's, it's systemic and it's multi-generational trauma that these communities, my communities had to deal with. So you come to them with brain donation, they're looking at you like, what? But then when you say, well, wait a minute, you know, we need to level the playing field. These, you know, Alzheimer's alone impacts our community more than any other community. You know, I think Tish is, I'm right that Black people are twice as likely to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's than any other group. That's a problem. And 50% of all cases in the Black community go undiagnosed. So that's a double whammy. So it's a problem, and we want to address it through Brain Donor, through the braindonorproject.org site, which is the first.
You're so right. Tish Hevel joining me here today. Yeah, look, I can't tell you how many years ago I've been doing this. Is my 20th anniversary. So I go way back, including really being a strong advocate for Lyme disease. And one of the most interesting things I found was one of our amazing doctors who was able to hold on to his license, got these 11 brains from Harvard, right, to do research on. And had he not gotten them, we wouldn't have discovered that out of 11 brains, my math, you ready? 9 out of the 11 brains didn't really have Alzheimer's. They had Lyme disease. And so these are one of these things that we can't even get to even have a conversation about. Here's the crisis. The degree by which we're seeing human beings suffer in their lives with anything to go on with the brain is so rapidly fast. Can we, Tish, Can we keep up? What are we going to have to do here?
Can we keep up? It's tragic. You're right. And the problem is that the answers are just not coming fast enough. So you're absolutely right about that. The only way we're going to get there is by having supplies of brain tissue available for scientists that are representative of all of us. And since we support the brain banks of the NIH, you know, they're disease agnostic. They'll take all kinds of disorders and controls. It's important for people with healthy brains to also donate, because that healthy tissue is need for comparison's sake in every single study. But the every single study part is so critical, because as Petrosky said, if the science doesn't represent all of us, it is not complete at all. And so, you know, it's no secret that there have been all kinds of inequities in health, right? But we don't know if the differences in some brains are caused by environmental factors. You know, housing discrimination has led to certain communities having to live near industrial areas. What effect does that have on the brain? And how healthy, you know, how are we going to be able to come up with therapies that are effective and safe for people unless we take all that into consideration? So, yeah, we need to open things way up, and we need people to really respond to this call, because it's the only way we're going to have a healthier future. One of the things you mentioned, I have to piggyback on, Doctor, the families get a copy of the neuropath report. So the autopsy of the brain, you know, is the examination, and many neurodegenerative diseases, especially like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, that's the only definitive diagnosis they're going to get is study that's done once they die. And since we're getting closer to understanding the genetic underpinnings of so many things, that's critical information.
Yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out. And, you know, Petrosky, I want to ask you, because let me tell you, like, people don't really recognize this. They think, what do you mean? I mean, why is brain research so, well, it is different because actually the person cannot be alive while you're studying them on this part of the body. That's what makes this so critical and pivotal. It's not like other things. It's not like if something happens to your arm and they can take a biopsy and they can do it. It's not like that. This is so different. But Petrosky, I want to ask you, this is an educational program for people in the Black and Brown community. There's got to be some kind of outreach to have some conversations to have people feel safe. I don't know. What do you think?
I completely agree with you there, and that's one of the reasons why I'm involved. And because first of all, you demystify, destigmatize this whole conversation, because we're all living with this. We all want answers, right? And what's that line from A Few Good Men? I want the truth, you know.
Yeah, you can't handle the truth.
A Black community is ready to handle the truth, because it's a scourge that's really destroying families. It's a long goodbye. And on top of that, I have no idea how in some part, like I grew up in South Georgia, a lot of my relatives and my family members have no idea. They think dementia is just they call it Alzheimer's disease. They don't even call it Alzheimer's. They call it Alzheimer's. And they think it's a natural part of aging. And that's not the case. So we have to, the awareness part is so important. It's sororities, it's fraternities, it's barbershops, okay? When I go to my barbershop later today, you bet your bottom dollar we're going to be talking about this issue. And so the awareness piece is where we start. And that's why I'm so committed to helping Tish get the word out, because we do need words.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Where can people go? Because, you know, we got to give it. We're living in a digital world now. You can't turn around. You know, somebody asked me a question. What do you think is the most present we are in any given part of our day? I said, oh, easy, when we hear the text notification on our phone. So, I mean, don't worry about be here now or the esoteric nature of being present. I mean, come on. All we need to do is watch ourselves. But how do we find out more about this? Where do people go? How can they spread the word? Where is the access, Tish, for that?
It's at braindonorproject.org. Thank you for the that's the website we developed to help raise awareness of the critical need and simplify the process to become a donor. It's not part of organ donation. You got to make separate arrangements.
Yes.
So that site will help you get started. There's a brief online form that someone can fill out for themselves or on behalf of someone else. And then we connect them with the brain bank makes the most sense and sort of hand things off from there. But that's where it all starts.
Can I ask a very ridiculous question? So you're going to be like, oh, this is such a stupid question. Okay. I'm an organ donor. It's not on the organ donor. I don't understand. I mean, you got to help me with this. I mean, honestly, until I did this show, I didn't know it wasn't on my list. You know what? I don't understand. Can you two explain that?
Yeah, not a stupid question at all. That's the number one question we get. It makes sense, right? The brain's an organ.
It does.
Wouldn't it be part of organ donation? It's never going to be because they're never going to transplant them. And so in the meantime, we have to do it this way, which is a little more complicated and cumbersome, but you do have to make separate arrangements. And if you haven't made them in advance, it's tricky. You know, as you know, this is America. We have paperwork. And until all that gets done, the process is slowed and we can't have it slowed. You know, the brain has to be back at the brain bank, stored properly, well within 24 hours of death. So you got to hustle. And if the paperwork's in place, that's doable. It's dicey.
Yeah. I mean, this is really a conundrum. And I just wanted to thank you both. I mean, it really is paradoxical to me. You know, here is an area we need more research than we could even imagine. First of all, we don't even know the full functioning of the brain. Right? So last question from each of you. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave everybody with? And thank you for getting the word out.
Yeah, I'm happy to start. For me, my personal message, I just want to help my mom. I'd like to know what is going on. She's 78 years old and she's been struggling in the last, we've been struggling as a family. And I feel like if we had more answers, if we had more research and providers and specialists were armed with more information and more tools to help me, help her, wow, I'd be in a much better place. So I'm doing this for my mother and for all the moms and out there who and family members out there who are trying to figure it out every day.
That's it. Yeah. Go to braindonorproject.org. Please consider this. Start the process. And thank you so much for considering it.
Yeah. And I want to thank you both for taking a message out there, because this is one of these areas that when we see the struggle and the suffering of the individual and the family, it's actually, there aren't words for it. Thank you both for joining us here today. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.